This is the Ed Non-Tech Podcast, conversations about education, technology, and culture with Dr. Doug Reed and Dr. Matt Stranick. Thank you for joining us.
My name is Dr. Doug Reed, and I am located in Abigway, the traditional and unceded territory of the Mi'kmaq people.
My name is Matthew Stranick, and I am in Kamloops, British Columbia, on the traditional lands of Tkamluk-Dishequetmik within Shequetmik Ulu, the traditional and unceded territory of the Shequetmik people. Hello, happy, this is the episode which I believe it corresponds with the summer solstice, does it not, Doug?
Yeah, the summer solstice is in less than 24 hours, so yeah.
Well, how about that? So we are within 24 hours of the summer solstice, so when you see this come out, hopefully right after that, it'll be like time stamped. But this is the Ed Non-Tech Podcast, obviously. Hopefully, obviously, Dr. Doug Reed, as ever.
Hello.
And myself, Dr. Matt Stranick. And if I seem slightly more discombobulated than normal, which I know is kind of, that's pushing a certain boundary there, I'll be the first to say, but it's because I'm in the process of moving. And it's coming along real fast. And I'm doing a great job of it. I'm giving myself a pat on the back. I'm drinking my Monster energy drink. Staying caffeinated is important. And yeah, man, I'm in a completely new tech situation now, in as much as it's completely configured differently, different location. Anyway, I'll be putting up supplementary photographs of the surrounding disarray, so we don't need to get into here too much with that. Beyond that preamble, how are things with you, Doug?
Things are pretty good. Now, I'm looking forward to talking about AI in education, the writing impact so far.
Before
we get there, we're on episode 30, and we both had technical issues today. So, and we're both confident and comfortable enough to roll with it and make it work and all that, but for the people listening that think, oh, no, the computer hates me, it's like this happens to everybody. So,
well, so it's okay. Thanks for that, Doug. And again, I'll be straight. I have had no practical preparation for today's show in as much as I'm just looking at the notes now for the first time. Due to the aforementioned, I'm just going to lay that out. And that's also the joy of the asynchronous production mode that we're under, where the notes can take on, you know, it's like, oh, well, you know, here's the resource that I would have inserted in the time of the recording. So it becomes a complete and more differentiated and therefore hopefully more valuable offering, you know? So justifying the e-learning in any way that I can. But honestly, Doug, this is a great and timely topic. You just decided, having spoken to Rubrics on the past episode, which will be coming out at the same time as this one, because I'm in a stage of disassembly where I'm going to take one day and get two episodes of this, one episode of the Punk Podcast that's recorded and out the door. And then I'm not even vouching for the whereabouts of this computer. So tell me more about it, Doug. Tell me more about the what prompted this after the Rubrics. Was that sort of intentional in your thinking? Was in some way, or no. What was the thing there? Okay.
I wanted to do some deep dives because I really enjoyed being able to focus when we did the Community of Inquiry deep dives, where we did three deep dives. And then with AI, this is the end of the school year for a lot of people. Yes. And AI has exploded. These large language models have exploded.
Okay, so Doug, can I just pause you here for a second?
Sure.
And because when we've talked about AI previously, you've mentioned this term. Yeah. Large language, did you say? What's that term?
Large language models.
Okay, so as a somebody who has a degree in English and spent time in an ESL environment, this isn't something I've heard of. So I find you attaching a ostensibly a language model onto AI as a thing. Can you just speak to that a little bit more, please?
For sure. What we're calling AI right now is not. This will not become Skynet, and John Connor is not coming, not in danger, right? Like
Not yet he's not.
Like the president of OpenAI, the ChatGPT head.
Did he go before the United States Senate recently, or
But he has come out and said this is a dead end technology. This will not lead to artificial intelligence.
Well, so I just sort of wonder. First of all, we're still rooting for the AI pivot because we got a branded action on that.
AI is a marketing term. It's not.
That's fine.
What's happening.
Well, okay. So, and this is where, you know, you can say, well, we said artificial intelligence. We didn't say artificial consciousness. I mean, that's, you know, I think.
How do you measure intelligence then?
Intelligence, I think, is more akin to the mechanical, you know, reptilian part of the brain attached to just sort of functioning within your body, your limbic system. And I think consciousness resides, you know, as metacognitive processes and mirroring neurons sort of had to differentiate the action of our branch of the Homo sapiens to fight off the Neanderthals, essentially. So in order to sort of survive in a, you know, pretty combatant environment over, you know, thousands of years back in the day, this was sort of a genetic advantage, right? The development of certain slightly higher cognitive function, which set the, you know, thing for self-awareness, you know, and thereby, you know, consciousness as we know it, thereabouts, I mean, really. Differentiating that from intelligence, which is just sort of like a collection of actions executed by a living subject, in my opinion. But
okay, I buy that.
I mean, that's just my, you know.
But as soon as you mentioned living subject, does that include
software
and algorithms and stuff? That's so right now, what basically what they've got is, you know, when you have like a social media algorithm that pops up the ads that they think you want to see, or they say, hey, you might like this content. This is just that version on steroids. This large language model has all that info, and so, it has the info from everybody else using it. And they come up with, we think this is what you want. But
large language again, where's the language fit into that?
It's all the words that we're using to type and all the words that they harvested in 2021.
So that's the core. So that's sort of like the corpus. Everything that exists in terms of language is a feeder for what this thing is able to do. So hence large scale language harvesting of sorts.
It's like the 40,000 servers that they have, or whatever the number is. Insane. They have a huge number of servers, and that's what it is. That's like when you look at the when you use these, we have to come up with prompts, and all the prompts are language based, and they're going through and parsing the prompts to figure out what is it this person's asking, and trying to better the communication by building the prompts is the important,
and thereby selling you a preferable vacation experience or a preferable choice on soft drinks Or
watches. Or
yes. The end result of all this human creativity is to make money off of convenient, stupid things. But yes. Yeah. Awesome, man. I mean,
so that's what I mean when
thank
I
thank you. Thank you for sharing that, man. I appreciate welcome. That. So I like the fact that you started out so your first notion, your first one here, Fitria from 2021. Which sort of speaks to grammar, spelling. If you could just speak a little bit to that reference there, bud.
Sure. I've been dealing with this off and on since about November last year because it's like a wave coming in, and the wave's just getting bigger and bigger and bigger, like a tidal wave or tsunami or whatever. And what's happened now is I thought, like in my head, I had conceptualized that the writing impact was all about give the prompts to the software and the software pumps out your essay. And while that is a thing, it isn't the big thing. The big thing is the suggested writing edits. It's here's my file. Here's my writing. What can I do to improve it?
You know, I find those convenient. I find the ones that come up in Microsoft Word. I'm like, yeah, okay. And I mean, I'm good at it, you know, but I'm just like, you know, sure.
Yeah.
And when I actually, I was writing Center Tutor with Thompson Rivers until a couple weeks ago, still may take that up, Writing Center, because I've been invited to specifically, which was nice of them. You know, it's just like, I just tell, you know, because some students have not had experience with that software. So I'm just like, you see the squiggly green line? That's not as bad as the squiggly red line, you know? So you got all these sort of signals that have just been like, yeah, I've been using this since, you know, grade 5, give or take, right? Yeah. So
it's been around for a while.
It's been around for a while. So sometimes it's like, here's how you can use the file format and the affordances of, you know, Word or whatever to sort of, you know, it's an extra layer to it. So an extra layer of meaning making and literacy. Right. So,
yeah. And then it becomes who did the writing, right? Like that's part of the struggle is it's like when somebody goes to the writing center and says, help me with my essay, and you provide suggestions and comments. It's do you get part of the credit now?
Well, I remember when I remember at an institution where I worked, and they got the first, you know, they subscribed to the one of the plagiarism tracking software packages, right?
Yeah.
And I'm not naming it, and I'm not speaking to the terms of the license or anything, just because that's not the point. But you know, for somebody who say has a lot of reports to write, you know, having the aspect of it where it's like, okay. This part came from Wikipedia, you know, copy and paste job. This part of it came from, you know, somebody else's paper. I mean, on the balance, I support, you know, teaching better academic habits and academic integrity and, you know, digital research skill. But I also, you know, as a teacher, I'm just like, phew, you know, sort of at the time, like, okay, it's just, you know, it's like, I'm not letting it do my work for me. You know, you can they market themselves, all these is like, you can add certain kinds of annotations. It's a feedback system, but a lot of it's just like, yeah, I like the plagiarism detection tool aspect of it, right? Prosecute, you know, like here, the machine with the license that we pay for shows that you've got this from your cousin from two classes back or whatever, right?
Exactly.
I see both sides of it, quite frankly, you know, really.
Yeah. And honestly, I just want to help students learn.
Of course.
But do we need them to be learning? And what do we need them to be learning? Like, I finally found my book called The Sabretooth Curriculum from Abner Pettywell.
Nice.
And this skewers what we need to be learning and why we learn.
So is it actually a work of educational satire then, or can you please speak to that book just a bit that makes it interesting for you?
if you want to learn about how to design a curriculum and how direct curriculum actually gets designed, this is the book to read.
So
it's the most welcoming.
Okay, good.
It's the most welcoming curriculum development book ever.
Cool.
And literally, the premise is it's back in caveman days, and
Sabertooth. Okay.
And one generation was being threatened by saber-toothed tigers, so they had to learn how to kill saber-toothed tigers. And then the next generation got better at it because they learned when they were younger, and then when the third generation rolled around, there was no saber-toothed tigers left. But killing saber-toothed tigers was important, so they had to pretend to kill saber-toothed tigers, and they had to come up with all these exercises that would be like simulating killing saber-toothed tigers. And
I'm going
like,
to be
why
very
are we teaching this?
I'm going to be very disappointed if you don't have the name of this book in the notes.
I can add it.
It'd be great if you did. And I think Sabertooth something is going to end up being the phrase of the show, but I'm not in charge of that department. So,
yeah, but I'll take bribes and we could,
we talked at one point about actually, you know, having an online version of the digital learning show. And that, you know, could conceivably happen here, just given the locale shift for me, right? You know, it's if you're ever in St. John, thereabouts, or if I'm ever in, Prince Edward Island, thereabouts, to just be, okay, you know, it's...
It's pretty close. It's going to be
right,
close.
Have an in-person version of the podcast. That would be...
We've been threatening to do it.
I'm telling you, it's going to be from being a coast-to-coast show to a regional enterprise is what it will. So
true enough.
Yeah.
Enough.
Nifty. Now you have your Salvaget
et al.
Thank you.
Can artificial intelligence help for scientific writing?
Okay.
And basically, they introduced, because that's a 2023, they introduced ChatGPT, and they just talk about it in an academic sense.
Yeah,
and,
okay.
And so the short answer is, yes, it can. It can absolutely do that.
Clear answers are good.
Yeah, because it can also help with the lit review. It can help come up with potential research questions.
Oh, yeah.
It can provide an overview of the current state of the field. And it's like, holy crud. Like, this is all stuff I didn't think about. I thought it was input whatever, and here's a piece of writing back. But it can do way more than that already.
You can use it to help populate advanced resources for the teaching of writing. Is that sort of what you're seeing here? Or in any other subject, but I mean, since we're talking about writing, you know,
we're talking about writing.
But I mean, for any curricular area, if you're in need of, well, I had already been thinking, and maybe we even discussed it, you know, like not just, you know, because like Moodle, you know, my most recent memory thingy of learning management has the auto grading. And we had talked about, I think, about how that tendency may encourage people to do auto grading. But one thing that was still very time consuming and challenging was coming up with, you know, hundreds upon hundreds of questions for that format. So I'm willing to wager the application that you're suggesting can come up with a lot more of them, a lot better, a lot quicker, right?
When I was in the curriculum course design environment in a post-secondary, getting instructors to build the question set. It's, hey, we need 300 questions. And it's like, oh, well, the publisher's already done that. It's like, no, then they're not ours. You have to create them. We paid you to do it.
Or people who wanted, like, you know, resources from the publisher basically taken and stripped, you know, and then not that that ever happened, not that I ever partook, but I mean, you can see how it would be compelling, right? Good. Well, this is a good thing, isn't it? Reducing prep time, assuming that, it's well vetted, the output, right? That's
Yes, and it helps proofreading. Because the little quote I had, it's like I put it in brackets in the notes, and it's like, as an AI model, I am not able to review or submit papers to journals, as I am not a researcher or author. And it has this stuff in there, and what I've been hearing is students have been using it and then not proofreading what's come out. So right in the middle of the essay or the paper or the assignment, it says, as an AI model, I'm not a student, so I can't submit this. And they're not even proofreading some of them.
They should find a way to like just watermark it, you know, any kind of like deep encrypt, you know, some kind of any file that goes through one of these applications. Like if it comes in contact, any kind of media output file, it should just be like aided, you know, with and through, you know, whatever. And it should just be a hardwired default thing in, you know, as part of just your normal documenting experience through the internet.
And then I save it as a text file.
Yeah.
It strips all that out.
But I'm saying they should have an algorithm which stays in the stripped text file. In like
Yet to meet one that stays in text file.
I'm thinking forwardly here, friend. That's my aspiration. Bill Gates, if you're not too busy, we'd like that, you know.
Yeah, and I like the fact that I have used save to text file and then move stuff out. Because when you copy out of a PDF, like if you download a PDF from the library or whatever, and you want to copy a chunk of it, you get all those remnants. You get all this wacky spacing, and it's not a hard return. It's a soft
corrupted,
return.
Corrupted files come that way sometimes.
Yes, as well. So for me, my first default is save to text. Let's see what happens there. But they would agree.
Yeah.
There'd have to be an agreement like what happened with FM radio. Right, there would have to be an agreement that all the software companies agreed that, okay, like Word-type documents or pages or whatever would all keep that content in. Because that's the difference between AM and FM radio.
What you need is more regulation as the basis for a more sustainable, ecology or infrastructure. Out in there, you know, that's
Do you know the difference between AM radio? Why AM doesn't have a stereo, but FM radio does have a stereo?
I'm aware it's significant, but I don't know what it is.
It's literally the government said, get your act together and agree to this.
Yep.
And with AM radio, they didn't force them, so they didn't, which is why FM stereo is a thing and AM stereo is not a thing. It's literally just agreeing on a set of standards.
You can't play tennis without a net, you know. If you don't, it's something else. It's not tennis if there's no net, you know, or something like that.
That's, yeah, it's something, but it's not tennis. it's one of those things.
Okay, great. So now you've got a grid one here about artificial intelligence.
At all? Yeah,
the 20. Sorry, have we? I thought we just spoke to that, and now, Hosseini Rosman Resnick? Is that what you...
Rasmussen.
That's what yeah.
Hosseini Rasmussen and Resnick. Using AI to write scholarly publications.
Okay.
And they don't call it a large language model. They call it natural language processing. But it's another one of those terms that people just lump into AI.
Okay.
When they talk about stuff. And they're taking a look at how wrong it is. Because these things are pumping out stuff that's wrong all the time.
Like just completely factually inaccurate to the nth degree.
Yes, because it's making up stuff and it's guessing. So a bunch of them are making up references.
Oh.
So you have to go check to see if that was an actual article that it referred to when it cited it in the paper. It thinks you wanted that it made up.
Well, based on my experience with like AI imaging, like it can't even yet render human feet or hands, like, you know, three hands, you know, or whatever. So
yeah, they're heard. That, drawing hands are heard.
Or just whatever, you know. So yeah. Like, there are still limitations on it, you know. Artificial intelligence doesn't mean that it's intelligent, you know.
No.
No.
So what do we do when the language model has the wrong information or misleading information or irrelevant information, and some of them are telling lies intentionally? That's how they've been designed.
So I've heard the one that Microsoft is especially bad for that, like the Bing, you know, yeah. Like it's been known to, in certain use cases, you know, be lying and manipulative. I get the New Yorker sent to my inbox, and I almost never read it. And I'm sure I didn't read that article, but it had a very descriptive title, you know, for that one. So, huh? Okay. Well, this is all very interesting.
Yeah. So it's a worry. It comes back to, you better know your stuff, and you better read the thing again to make sure.
So further to your further to your point at the beginning, AI maybe isn't such a you know, cataclysm or catastrophe as might have been suggested, in as much as there are clear limitations even on what it's capable of producing. So therefore, the notion that English teachers or academic writers are going to be somehow displaced because of the use of these tools is simply incorrect, is what it sounds like.
That's what I believe. This model is not there yet.
Hooray for the English teachers.
You're going
jobs.
From, yeah, because the hardest part of writing is putting it down the first time.
Exactly so.
And then you edit. And editing is way easier. Like, what was that, the Hemingway quote? Write drunk, edit sober.
Right, or write cool, or write hot, edit cool. There's variations on that. And, or if you're Jack Kerouac, write drunk and don't edit. But some people went with that. I think it might have worked for Faulkner as well, potentially. But anyways, man.
So this forces you to be a better proofreader and a better editor. Because then you get to go through the whole document that they produce, and you're like, man, is all of this true? I got to go find out now.
So then it behooves somebody who's actually interested in using one of these programs to maybe not just see it as, like, you know, I mean, again, it could be used intentionally on the educational side rather than reactively, you know, in response to AI student aided student, whatever, you know, so you can say, well, it's like, okay, I can become knowledgeable about the part that delivers, you know, questions mostly for multiple choice. You know, you can sort of start figuring, you know, or for art or social studies or language assignments where, you know, actually some of my people in Fredericton that I know who work in the school system, one thing I've just sort of heard them mention is they actually get the kids to sort of experiment with text prompts with the imaging function, or, you know, with the chat even, so you can sort of analyze, you know, what kind of output do you get from what kind of, you know, prompt that you're giving it verbally or in writing. So it's great to see, I think, that you know, people who are mid-career or still potentially, I consider, maybe early career, are coming in and teaching this explicitly. Because I think if you're just sort of catching this as an adult for the first time, it's like anything you're catching as an adult for the first time. It's the people who are, you know, before they're 25 are the ones who are going to get the most benefit from this stuff. Just speaking as a certified middle-aged person at this point, you know.
Yeah, it's like when you text on your smartphone, right? Do you have the predictive text? So it says, is this the next word that you want? Is this the next word that you want?
I certainly do. It's
yeah. it's a vastly superior version to that, but it's the same kind of concept. It's, I think this is what you want to say.
So it's just, it's populating from a much wider base. Much wider base, with perhaps greater specificity, and enhanced with the algorithmic knowledge of every click you've ever put into the internet.
And every click anybody's put into the internet.
Right.
Not
but
just
it's
you.
But you know, it can certainly hone in on, or it will be able to hone in on your particular profile, right? You know, as somebody who's, you know, everything you've bought online, everything you've just done, you know, business or personal transactions. I mean, all of that just follows you. So, you know, hence you're, you know, it's just going to, the AI will just become perhaps an aspect of the, you know, algorithm that kind of just follows you based on your clicking history, right?
And not just, it's your conversation history.
Yes!
My wife and I were having a chat
yep.
about something, whatever we were talking about. And then I went to my phone to look for something, and the ads that popped up were about what we had just been talking about. And
that
we
is,
had never discussed it before, and I'd never searched for it.
That is so, freaky and invasive.
Yes.
Two middle fingers to that, you know.
Yes, but that's part of it as well. So it's not
sure.
just what you're – it's if your phone is on or if your device is on, that data is being collected, and it's feeding into these AI models.
So have you ever watched the show Black Mirror on Netflix?
I watched an episode or two.
I
want to get into it.
Yeah, I almost never, like, watch TV because the TV that I watch has been pretty – I just – you know, I got a strong attachment to it, and the amount of it besides that is almost nil. But this is, like, you know, the dystopian media show – one of the, I think it's the first episode of the season that's just been released, is sort of like, it does this kind of thing where somebody's watching Netflix or whatever, a dystopian show on Netflix, and then because of the terms and conditions with the network, you know, the provider, they don't call them Netflix, but whatever, then they become the subject of a show that other people are watching, and eventually they just, you know, like looking in the mirror X number of times, and it's just satirical and funny and creepy, actually. So I think, you know,
yeah,
there's some things about it.
Absolutely there are. And I'm going to jump to the Fife, how to cheat on your final
Thank
paper.
Thank you. Swell.
Assigning AI for student writing?
Yes.
Right. Basically, what Fife is saying that is that we have to define what cheating is. Because it's way more complicated than the software people saying, oh, here, this Grammarly will help with your blah, 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 or what the institution plagiarism policy is, because those are normally years out of date. So what is cheating? Because it used to be cheating to use a computer or use a calculator, and then it was cheating to use a computer. What is our version of cheating now? And we have to come to grips with that. Because I had a buddy of mine in grade 7 who had one of those calculator watches. That kind of dates me. And it used to bug me, right? Because how come he gets a calculator? And it's like, it's a watch. And I was whatever. I was 10 or 11 or whatever it was. But
thumbs down to that. That's an unfair advantage.
Absolutely. But if everybody has it, is it still an unfair advantage?
No, that is communism, and two thumbs down to that. Boo.
So we have to figure out what we're really trying to do with assessment in education, right? Like when it comes to writing, what are the students being rewarded for doing, and what are they not being rewarded for? What are they being punished for? And what is the proper process, or what are our cultural norms on this?
I believe that we need to have an entire show strictly on that topic, from the sound of it.
Okay.
AI and evaluation, straight up, as a, you know.
Yeah.
Talking deep dives, talking, you know, we did a show on rubrics, Now we're doing language. We've got images. Evaluation is fairly certain to be part of it, you know? Could also do one on
it has to be.
Just AI and curriculum, straight up, you know, the bones of education. Yeah, well, I mean, it's just going to become one of those things where it's like, you know this thing, the internet, that is kind of a novelty? Now you just, you got it all over the place. This is just, you know, the sky is not falling.
But people are making money off it. So the sky's falling a little bit because they need the sky to fall so they can make their money. Because
and thus to enjoy t-shirts made in Vietnam, available through mail order on my Loblaws President's Choice credit card, gaining points for that, saving on groceries. I'm
absolutely.
I believe in the middle class dream, Doug. Yeah. And I'm just so like I'm sitting in like my own rubble here. It's actually very well organized, but I'm just like, you know, it's anyway.
There's a bonus. There's a yes? big bonus to all of this, and okay. It's the people that create infographics.
Yes.
And it's the people that like to create lists in social media. They okay. are having a heyday because nobody knows anything. This is like when the pandemic pivot happened and everything got shut down in a week.
Yep.
And then everybody was losing their minds. It was, oh my goodness, what do we do? What do we do? This AI pivot is the same thing, but
AI pivot.
Some people
we
can
said
still
it
ignore
first.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah. So some people are still ignoring it because they're not locked into their houses.
Right.
But for the educators and the students, it has to be dealt with. And
so
I have some examples here from some of the Facebook groups and social media groups. And it's like, how do you get it to write reports? And then people are saying, first you do this, and then you do this, and then you do this. And it's just laying it out into here's how you do this with this new technology.
Well, I mean, if it's going to do something where, you know, you're just using a highly specialized document template, which, you know, responds with certain structures of filler language, you know, if you're feeding it erroneous or incorrect analyses or information, then regardless of how it's being assembled, the tool that's putting it together, it's still going to be wrong or off base, you know, output from it. So,
but if you submit some stuff and say, make it look like this, make it look like that, format it in APA 7, it could do
I welcome the, as a, you know, like, oh, okay, make sure you switch on the setting for APA 7 in your Word. I'd much rather have that than the whole, you know, at this point, I can just say, go to the Owl Purdue for some reasonable examples. But I mean,
and I go to Nightsight. Nightsight is my reasonable example.
Okay. That's,
it's the same thing. They
whatever that's out there that you feel comfortable with, is sort of my go-to as long as it's, filling the same purpose and you feel comfortable with it. So
that's right.
Good stuff, man. Right. So what else do we have here?
We have, two other little things, right? And it's two other comments from different, like, AI and education social media groups.
Yes.
And people are just, please help me. People are desperate, and they're asking for help on how to do this, right? Like, I put my comments in and ask it to improve it, right? I use lazy English, and it levels it up for me. And it's like, yeah, it sounds better than what I originally put in, so we're good. And so for the people that hate writing, enjoy writing, this is wonderful. This is a gift.
I just feel like the people who didn't like math have been getting off easy because of calculators. And I'm including myself there for decades, right? So, I mean, whatever. If you don't know what to punch into a calculator, you know, if you lack even in that basic numeracy. So it's like, okay, language, you know, just auto-populate the thing, right? You're still going to have to speak, you know, largely. I think the potential benefits off of this, you know, for, you know, people to improve how they sound with less cognitive, you know, distance, I suppose, if it's more effective, you know, as long as it's clearly representing the thought, then whatever, you know, can be used to express it to its full advantage should be, you know, considered at least as having some potential, right? I mean,
yeah. And as educators, what are we doing with that?
Right. Instead of just like, well, the students are going to be using this, we have to react to it. You know, just kind of take it all, sit it kind of down, see, okay, it's got this feature set, these functions, what potential realistic uses could be there for us, you know, on the teaching side of it, rather than just sort of like, well, you know, it's going to enhance academic misuse. I mean, which it certainly will, but I mean, anything is going to suggest its own academic misuse, right? Like,
yeah. Well, like if you take a look at, you know, when people used to like cheat, they used to write all their info on little pieces of paper and then slide them up their sleeves for the exams. They have access to that stuff when they go do their job, right? Nobody is going to need that formula memorized. You will have resource materials like 99% of the time.
It's outsourcing, certain function and, you know, freeing up function and bandwidth for mm-hmm. other tasks, right? So,
and the act of doing the writing and getting it small and squeezing it in has been shown that's a form of them learning it.
Yes.
So what you're actually doing is help reinforce some behavior that's going to help them learn it. So I've never understood that type of exams or stuff. But what else I have in the document is another couple of examples of people saying, oh, yeah, it creates draft comments. It's great. I found a group of teachers that are like, how do I do report card comments? How do I get AI to help me do
report card comments? Again, like a pretty standard approach, you know, is, you know, here are the 25 things that I can reliably say about essays that come up often enough in like an Excel sheet. And I'm just, plunk, you know, copy, paste, use as appropriate. I don't think of that as being, you know, dishonest or, you know, anything. I mean, I think that's legit. So how is this any less legit than that?
It's got an easier user interface.
Yeah, well, and why is there anything wrong with that, honestly?
As a teacher, in my second year teaching, the principal handed out a sheet that said, here's 100 ways to say good job. And there was all these positive ways to say good job on the report card. So you're not repeating it.
Okay.
And then, of course, somebody on staff went to the staff, the whiteboard in the staff room and said, 99 ways to say I hate working here. And he started that list and people just added to that list. And the principal got choked and was like, we don't care if you joked. Right? There's a bunch of other stuff going on. It is report card time and we're tired. So it just made me laugh. It just reminds me of like a modern version of that kind of resource. And it's
I think it would be nice to think that more staffing was available, more human resources in terms of hours, so that you can feel more creative about what you write to each student or whatever, by having, you know, not 30 or 35 per class in K-12, times, you know, four or five, or if you're in, you know, post-secondary, you know, maybe even greater numbers if you're teaching these undergrad classes. I mean, if it's like you want a certain level of creativity and human quality, well, I mean, just, you know, build your staffing better as well, right?
Yeah.
That's part, you know, honestly. But
now we can't control that. The last key part of what I learned from doing all this is the importance of prompts. And I had messed around with the prompts, trying to come up with the logo for our podcast, right? Like all the different ways to try to say stuff. And that has taken on a life of its own, because I know you've produced hundreds of images with your the sad dads of AI and that
stuff. I'm just like, I got this job while that stuff was going out there. I'm like, okay, you know, like.
So the crafting of prompts.
Yeah.
Is vitally important. So that's the skill that's coming. That's a skill people
have. I've seen this, like, I'm doing a crossword puzzle. Like, what does the configuration look like if I move the clause this way or use three adjectives instead of two, you know? Like, I was sort of like playing this game of, like, what will it let me get away with? And I do not share some of what it let me get away with, because just, like, what, I want to make even less friends than I already have? Like, but, you know, nevertheless, you know, it's when I do the show notes, I always get to have some fun with that stuff. So,
yes. So I shared
a
ChatGPT prompt cheat sheet. It's
nifty.
And it's, and there's a bunch of these out here, but I like this one. It just worked. It was welcoming. It seemed like a great place for a beginner to start. And I think we're all kind of still beginners, right? If it's only 6 months old. That we've really, or 8 months, we've really been digging into it. So
I'm telling you, you know, since I was at my last job at TRU, you know, since that ended, I really wasn't around, you know, so February 2022 is when I left. I was not really around at all for anything to do with AI as, you know, a thing. And now 2 years have gone by and people are just talking about it willy-nilly, left, right, and center, year and a half, not even 2 years, year and a half. And now I'm entering a new position, completely new field. And I'm just like, okay, what's the, what aspect of this will pertain in a non-post-secondary context? Because I sort of had it defaulted in my mind, I was going to end up doing something in post-secondary. And now I'm not. It's in adult learning. It's, you know, in other areas. So, going to be interesting to see your remaining, I'm not calling it higher ed, you're remaining in post-secondary, and I won't be. So we'll have that, the dichotomy will go from being the employed, and I almost said versus, versus the unemployed, but not really. Do I have a dog up here? Anyways, to the post-secondary and the non-post-secondary.
Yeah. So one other thing I did is I found a link for, like, Google's training program for AI. So
50.
You could click that and fill your boots with more stuff.
Oh,
I also
created
more of a list of here's some bigger AIs. And when I did this first list, like in January, most of these didn't exist. So that's how gigantic it has become really quickly.
This podcast is older than the AI pivot.
Yes.
Huh. That's nifty. That's nifty. We're able to document it from the beginning of the phenomenon through to wherever it's going to go if we so choose. Yeah, that's...
We could do an update every couple of months and say, here's where we're at now.
Well, we could. You've done it. I really have to say, you've really outdone yourself with these particular notes, Doug. You got, some good resources here, as well as some supplemental clickables, which are always desirable, right? So,
and which is what I like about the deep dives, because the literature hasn't caught up yet. The literature can't, just the way publishing works in post-secondary, they can't keep up with these changes. We'll get there when things calm down, but we're just not there yet.
To any sustained level of peer-reviewed academic discourse, yeah.
Yeah, that and takes more time.
And the, you know, I've never seen a paper go into a typical press from accepted proposal or whatever and take less than a year to come out. I mean, I just, a year is like fast, you know, in that regard, yeah. Right? So,
I added a couple of pictures just
because that's what you do. That's awesome.
That's
Thank
what
you,
I
pal.
Do.
Yeah.
And they're both Terminator 2.
Kind oh, wow. Pictures. Terminator 2 has the, what do you call it? The unlock, the CAPTCHA graphic. That's
yeah, the CAPTCHA graphic.
Yeah.
So, trying to click all the pictures of Sarah Connor, right? And good try, AI. I'm not going to help you recognize the mother of the Rebel Resistance.
Of course it, not.
It makes me laugh because it's like, yeah, that's what's going on.
I remember being like a teenager when that film came out and just like, yeah. So,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, Skynet. Okay, and so that's as it. Well, I see now, well, not quite, the word of the podcast has a question mark beside it. Does that mean you're not sure if it's the word of the podcast?
Nope. Plagiarism is the word.
Okay.
Because are we plagiarized? Is this plagiarism to use AI, or is it not plagiarism to use AI?
Ah, how gotcha. How
are we using that word? Right, and how is it meant? And all the rest, right? Like, who's deciding that this is plagiarism or this isn't plagiarism? Are these the same people that said you can't use a computer, you can't use a calculator, you can't use an abacus? Like, who decided this?
I insist on my students not using an abacus. Call me old-fashioned, call me strict. I'm just like, not on this essay writing exam, you won't.
No, fair enough. I just didn't know. Like, do we need to use the ink quill with the little ink pot? Or does it have to be a feather that you dip into the ink pot? Or does it have to be like the Bic roller pen? Or
I think they should just have a glove and all that can stick out is your finger. Like, just otherwise it's a rubber glove. And then you have to just, you know, dip it in ink and just...
They did that, right, in those caves in France and Hungary and stuff?
Jeez, that'd be giving my absurd suggestion more credit than it deserves. But if that happens to be true, I'll take the credit.
Yeah, cool.
Good stuff. Okay, and you
so got the question of the podcast.
Well, the phrase of the podcast, you cleverly and conveniently put in the Sabretooth Curriculum by Abner Pettywell. So I'm looking forward to checking that out because... what you described of it was awesome. So thanks for putting that in there, pal. And then question podcast.
Yeah. How can educators leverage AI writing tools to promote student learning? Because I don't care if it's plagiarism. What I care about is, are the students learning? And are you designing the activities in the assessment so that they're learning what they need to know to go on in the world? Because if you're not, what are you doing?
Well, you know, and I would also just add to that, first of all, that's completely true, and thank you for that. I would just say that as well, I still think that, you know, there's a lot to be said from, you know, the so-called 21st century skills that were sort of put out there as part of the curriculum. So, I mean, just, you know, critically evaluating websites, critically evaluating tools, right? Critically evaluating... Yeah. You know, just
sources of information and digital literacy.
Knowing what the capabilities of AI are as a thing, and then sort of developing concepts and a extension of literacy, traditional literacy, that sort of helps parse what comes out of AI and make effective use of it or creative use of it or putting it aside, right? because, again, that's just like, again, with my ridiculous sad dads of AI, it's like, it was a hell of a lot of fun coming up with that. Like, I was like, you know, ridiculous pictures with ridiculous words attached to them. But then, you know, from an educational standpoint, I'm still, I put advertisements out for them. People, and I paid for the Meta advertisements, and I'm getting these bills from Meta. It's like, it's been turned off, you know, but this, like, they spent up to the correct amount. I have, you know, at some point, I'm just going to have a peel back the hatch and look at it again and just see what the hell's there. So what I'm saying is AI as a starting point can be very multifaceted for how things on the internet even tend to work, right? So if you're, you know, things you can involve students with potentially, right?
Yeah. So, right. They need to learn these literacies.
Right.
They you know, just do now.
And so, more to the point, they're going to teach themselves what they need in some way, unless, you know, regardless of whether, you know, there's a person, an educator, you know, within their lives doing that, or whether they're self-teaching, going with their friends and going with the raft of YouTube and other instructional videos where, you know, just all that expertise is there. So it's almost like, do you want to be part of that, you know, and help add to what's already in progress? Or do you want to just sort of not look at it, not, you know, be involved with it, except to the extent that you're, you know, policing it or reacting to it, right? So, so you know, and again, I think we've taken that up a fair bit in this episode and in some of the others. But again, just, you know, it's an opportunity, I think, for us as educators to explore new avenues and ways of being creative. It'll be nice to see when more of the focus is on that, as opposed to just, you know, how do we mitigate the negative potentials of this, right? Sorry to go on a bit of a tangent there, bud. Just
No, but that's where we need to head. This is part of the conversation, is how do we get there? And what path do we take to get there? Because there's going to be more than one path.
Yeah, well, that's swell, man. So thanks of all. Thanks for the compelling topic. I will confess that my situation, if I were to even just move this camera a bit, would just be like, okay, you know, somebody came up and they were just like, wow, you're really actually quite ready to move. And I'm like, I am, you know. So
yep.
I could be, I'm going to be scrambling out of here by Canada Day, I think, at this juncture. So, which isn't to say there won't be another episode soon, but it is to say bye for now, and it'll most be assuredly a different place for me when this resumes. So,
right on.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Thanks for checking it out, and enjoy.
Enjoy the solstice.
Enjoy the solstice. Enjoy your summer thus far.
Well, the summer hasn't started yet.
Summer starts by the time they watch this, it will have. So,
okay.
Bye, everybody.
See ya. Thank you.
Thank you.